This podcast is a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to find out more. This episode of Harry Potter and the Boys is brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Head to manscaped.com and enter the code HARRYPOTTER for 20% off and free worldwide shipping. That's code HARRYPOTTER with no spaces for 20% off at manscaped.com. Hey guys, Mike here. Just before we start, I just wanted to remind you that this is the final episode of the first season of Harry Potter and the Boys. This is the last chapter of Harry Potter and the Boys, and after this, we move on to book two. More information about how that will work in this week's Owl post. You can see it. It should be up just before this episode. Without further ado, I hope you're really excited for the last chapter. Ryan Shelton joins me. What an absolute legend. Enjoy the last chapter where things really get wrapped up. I'll see you soon. 50 years after the events of the final Harry Potter books, and Harry Potter is now headmaster of Hogwarts, ready to usher in a brand new generation of witches and wizards. My name's Radio Mike, and I love Harry Potter. In fact, I love Harry Potter so much that when I was a kid, I wrote an entire series of fan fiction books based on Hogwarts. This is book one in that series. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys. Hello, Hamoras, everyone. Welcome to Harry Potter and the Boys, a fan fiction podcast by me, Radio Mike, Ryan Shelton.
Hello, is Radio here. Mike. Oh. Hello.
you talked over me.
Go again.
No. This is huge, man. Thanks for being here on the show.
I'm pumped. I'm honestly pumped. You keep saying thanks. And you even said before, if you don't want to do it, just leave. When I was in the room.
Yeah. So we sat down to record and I'm like, seriously, man, if you don't want to do it, just head off. And then you're like, all right, I'll head off.
Yeah. I mean, I could be fucked doing this. So I'm happy to leave. But I guess I've committed, so I'll stick it out.
We've started now, but...
No, I'm very, very happy to be here. I love what you do. Love you on Instagram. Big Instagram fan. Love
thanks,
Instagram.
Man.
Love you on Instagram. genuinely so excited about being here. Thank you, Mike.
Okay, so this podcast, as I've explained, is a Harry Potter fan fiction podcast, and this is a huge, momentous occasion because we are on the last chapter of book one of seven. There's seven books. Mm. This is book one. We're at the last chapter.
The Prisoner of Mike's Caban.
So I guess that kicks off this conversation because I always ask new guests, what is your experience with the Harry Potter franchise? It can be nothing. It can be a lot. Can be medium.
I haven't read any of the books and I've only seen the first film.
Okay.
So it's very low.
So you've actually seen none of it. Like, you've seen one of seven of eight films.
Yeah, and I know I would probably enjoy it, but for some reason, I think my age group is maybe right in the middle of... Also, I'm not a big reader generally, so yeah. I don't read like the new big books that come out. So,
Big books as in long books or big books as in popular books?
No, like as in like
the dictionary.
Big. No, like very big books.
Novelty-sized books.
Yeah, like atlases.
Just like reading maps.
I don't read atlases. I stay well clear of atlases, but I love mini books.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
What's your favorite book of all time?
Oh, it's kind of it's not really the answer you're looking for, but I'll say the book that probably had the biggest impact on me was a book called The Courage to be Disliked.
Yeah.
Probably. But that's like a nonfiction book.
Self-help, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really read much fiction, to be honest. Okay. Although I really loved Ready Player One.
Oh, you've read Ready Player One?
Loved that, yeah.
Okay, cool. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah, I did.
Not as good, is it?
No, and that was actually the first time that I could genuinely say after the movie, not as good as the book.
Actually read it.
Because I'd read it first and then saw the movie, was really excited, but doing the kind of eye rolling, like,
this
here
didn't
we go.
Bloody happen.
Can't believe they're putting this into a movie. How can they? How dare they?
Have you read Ready Player Two?
Oh, is that really a thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Oh, it's right there on our bookshelf, Ready Player Two, the sequel.
I'd be nervous to read it. How is it?
I actually really liked it, but the reviews have been really negative. So people tend to hate it.
I'm going to trust the strangers I don't know as opposed to my friend Mike.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was okay. But so with Harry Potter, the first Harry Potter movie, when did you see it? Did you see it
when it came out?
Okay, yeah. And just, yeah. You would have been what, like 20 years old then?
What year did it come out?
2001.
Yeah, I would have been 20, yeah.
And you just went to the cinemas like...
It was the hype. It was like, gotta see it. And I saw it and I was like, oh yeah, it's not bad. I didn't dislike it, but I wasn't excited about the next one.
Do you remember who you saw it with?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
So what do you remember from the first movie? Like, is there anything that sticks out in your mind?
The Quidditch.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved the Quidditch scene.
Yeah.
That's in the first one, obviously.
Yeah.
I loved the Quidditch scene. That was the one I was like, oh, this is fun. I love this world.
Mm.
I remember a little, I just remember them in dark cave rooms.
Yeah, there's a lot of dark cave rooms in Harry Potter. Do you remember at the end of that movie, there's one of the teachers who wears a turban, removes the turban, and on the back of his head is Voldemort? Do you remember that?
No.
Oh, that's kind of like the main thing that happens.
More than Quidditch?
Well, Quidditch is a visual spectacle, but yeah. So Professor Quirrell, who's one of the teachers who wears a turban, at the end takes off his turban and Voldemort is on the back of his head tries to kill Harry.
Mr. Quirrell, is that what you're saying?
Professor Quirrell
is Voldemort.
No, but Voldemort has like planted himself on the back of his head and turned him into an evil wizard.
Voldemort's taken over.
Yeah, possessed him in a way. And it's kind of like... a twist ending of that book and movie, because Professor Snape, who is played by Alan Rickman with the long black hair.
Him. I know him. Yep.
Everyone kind of thinks he's the bad guy.
It was too obvious. Yeah.
Turns out it was actually Quirrell, which is a huge red herring.
Oh, God. Tell me about it.
So do you know anything about where the series goes after?
No.
So you know nothing?
No, I know nothing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So any sort of like winks to camera that's in your book, I will not understand.
So I'll explain everything as we go through it.
Okay.
But
so it'll be a long episode because you genuinely will have to explain everything.
Do I? Is that a thing with me?
No. You'll genuinely have to.
I will have to,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. So we are on the last chapter, as I said. Have you ever, this is kind of, I realize this is a weird position for you because you're about to basically open a new book and just read the last chapter, and I've had a flick through it. This is very much just kind of wrapping things up. So, like, what? I don't know how much you're going to understand of what's going on.
Okay.
How are you feeling about that?
I don't really know what to expect. I'm just ready to go along with just roll with the punches.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So the book is very self-referential.
Yes.
It's very meta.
Okay.
Often I love that. The characters in the book are aware of the fact that it's a book, and they are also aware of the fact that the original Harry Potter books were books as well.
Oh, I love it. So
it's very fourth wall breaky. It's very aware of itself. And a lot of the jokes in this book surround farts. And like in Harry Potter, there's a subject called Defense Against the Dark Arts. In this book, farts. It's called Defense Against the Dark Farts.
Brilliant.
So if you want, do you want to read the last chapter of Harry Potter and the Boys?
No, it's okay.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks for jumping on, Ryan. We'll see you next week.
Please bring it on.
Guys, very quickly, I want to interrupt this episode of Harry Potter and the Boys to let you know about our sponsor this week, Manscaped. Manscaped are the best in men's below-the-waist grooming and champions of the world. They offer precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. That's the 4.0. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping. Use the code Harry Potter at the checkout. That's code Harry Potter for 20% off your Manscaped order. I got sent the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped and I gave it a shot. I decided to groom my downstairs like a lot of us blokes like to do, and girls too. This isn't just for guys. Girls can use this too. I know it's called Manscaped, but girls can use this too. I shaved my balls. It was a very comfortable shave. I'm really impressed by the performance. I have used many different electric shavers, and this is definitely the best I've ever used. It was really easy, and like, we've all had bad experiences with shaving our balls, okay? Let's be real. We've all been there. I've been there. You've been there. I actually, literally like 2 weeks before this, I was going on a date, and I was like, all right, maybe I'll just shave my balls just in case, right? Because, you know, I think that the opposite sex enjoys a groomed penis and balls. I think that that is a thing that the opposite sex likes. In fact, in the past, I have been complimented by women on the grooming of my genitals. That is a true fact, right? It's stuff like this that Manscaped helps facilitate. Be more attractive by shaving your balls with the Lawnmower 4.0. Be more attractive by grooming your downstairs with the Lawnmower 4.0. Don't use a manual razor to shave your balls. We all know that's dangerous. I literally cut a little bit of my balls with an electric razor. It's too easy to do it, right? I had blood coming out of my ball sack. That is not fun. Nobody wants that. We've all been there, but we don't want that to ever happen. So please, please, for the love of God, use the Lawnmower 4.0. It reduces the risk of ingrown hairs. We don't want ingrown hairs. They are terrible. We know how gross they are, how painful they can be. This reduces the risk. It also reduces those little nicks that can be caused by a manual razor, and just generally reduces the risk of any kind of shaving incidents. What I really like about this, honestly, is it's such a small, slim, compact razor, right? I've got it set up in my bathroom. There's a wireless charger. It is really easy to use. To pick up this great deal, head to manscaped.com. The Performance Package 4.0 is great. It comes with the Lawnmower 4.0 as well as the Weed Whacker, which is a nose and ear trimmer. I used the nose trimmer. It was really good. And it also comes with the Crop Preserver and the Crop Reviver, which is your ball deodorant and ball toner. And as well as that, I also got included a free Manscaped travel kit. So if you're traveling and you want to bring some shaving gear along, it's really easy to pack it all in there. Really good quality stuff. Manscaped.com. Head to manscaped.com. Enter the code HARRYPOTTER at the checkout for 20% off. So much amazing stuff. Would love for you guys to go and support them. Ladies, get one for your boyfriend or get one for yourself. As well as that, 20% off using the code HARRYPOTTER. Support the brands that help support our show. That is really important. I appreciate a lot. Thank you so much, Manscaped, for jumping on board the podcast. Lawnmower 4.0, code HARRYPOTTER, 20% off. Let's get back to the show. The laptop, which contains the Word doc from originally from Windows, what was it called? Windows XP?
Oh, well, I was going to say 95.
I was an XP boy.
Okay.
We are up to the final chapter here, which is chapter 31. I'll hand you the laptop.
Oh, good font. What's that? It's just Times New Roman.
I think it's just Times New Roman.
Well, probably word art, actually. So
clip art
because you've got there's a shadow on it. Okay, anyway.
So what we do in this show, we start by reading the title of the chapter and we go from there. Ryan Shelton. This is huge for the listeners of this podcast. This is the last chapter. This is the end. Start us off.
Okay. Chapter 31. The end? there's a question mark.
Which is quite a childish way to end a book. Like,
no, I like it.
Like, but imagine if in Ready Player One, the last chapter was the end.
But
is it?
My reading of the end is you, the author, leaving the option for more.
Yeah.
Because
we might not do more,
yeah,
but we could.
The end? Who knows? Leave it open.
But don't you reckon everything now really ends with the end? Like, have you watched Squid Game?
Yes.
You know, the ending of Squid Game is very much like the end.
They're doing more Squid Game though.
Yeah, they are.
Oh,
but
yeah,
like, they might not have. You know what I mean? It could have ended.
Oh, but, sure. I get you.
When he doesn't get on the plane, it's very much like the end.
Well, quick bit of Back to the Future trivia.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know it's a Harry Potter podcast.
No, we're into all fandoms here.
Okay, cool. Multiculture. Back to the Future 1 was only ever supposed to be one movie.
Okay.
And so the final scene, for people who may remember, the final scene of Back to the Future 1 is Marty finally gets back to 1985. He's with his parents. Everything's good again. In fact, everything's better than it was before.
Mm.
And he's with Jennifer, his girlfriend. He's he's got this new truck that he'd been looking forward to getting. He goes to kiss Jennifer, and then the time machine with Doc just appears out of nowhere. Doc jumps out with futuristic clothes on and says, Marty, you've got to come back with me back to the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get in the car with Jennifer, the three of them, and then they back up. And Marty says, Doc, you're going to have to back up. We're not going to have enough road to get up to 88 miles per hour. That's what you need to make time travel possible. And then Doc looks at him, puts his glasses down and says, Rhodes, where we're going, we don't need roads.
Wow.
And then it hovers up and then it flies off into the air. And that was meant to be like a joke ending, as in like a,
really?
Oh. And then when it did so well, they're like, oh, now we want sequels. And so then they had to then create a whole future where they were flying cars, which they've said since that if they knew they were going to do sequels, they would never have done that because it was such a nightmare.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they doing a fourth Back to the Future?
No, they won't. I don't think they will. There's been a lot of rumors about it. They have done a musical. There's a musical on in the West End at the moment.
And did you see in Rick and Morty, they've got the Doctor playing the live action Rick?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw
that. That was good.
Nice.
Yeah. Rick and Morty is one of those shows that I know I would probably like and I've tried a couple of times and can't get into.
Oh, that sucks, man.
I know. It does suck, doesn't it? Because I know I would. It seems like my show.
Yeah. It's like so ingrained in what Back to the Future was.
I know.
Anyway.
I'm ashamed of myself. Okay. Anyway.
All right. The end.
The end. Follow me, said Hermione.
And so you know who Hermione is, right? So she's now, this is 50 years in the future. She's now one of the teachers at Hogwarts.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, great. Yeah. So she's one of the main teachers.
Okay. Follow me, said Hermione. The entire moment felt so crazy. Ron Weasley was dead and they had seen their own teacher, Mr. Charger's bum. But instead of a bum, there had been the face of Voldemort. What?
It actually says that in the book. What?
Yeah, it does.
Now, so in the last chapter, Mr. Charger, who was the main teacher, and this is a direct callback to the Philosopher's Stone
Professor
movie
Quirrell.
With Professor Quirrell, yeah, instead of on the back of his head, it was on the back of his bum.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
Absolutely crazy.
Crazy, okay.
So they're reflecting on that.
There's echoes of the first book in the final book of Harry Potter and the Boys.
Okay. Yeah.
Everybody was silent and someone farted. It might have been Hermione, but no one was sure. Hermione led the boys to her office. All right, you boys. Have a lot of explaining to do.
Is this your Hermione voice? Yeah.
All right, you boys have a lot of explaining to do. What happened down there?
Why does she sound like that?
Because she's 60.
But she is in the movie, she had a much more like posh British accent.
Yeah, but she's grown. It's been a tough 50 years.
Yeah, after all the Voldemort stuff and now he's back.
Well, should I do more of a, should I do more classic Hermione?
I think that's Hermione, yeah. Okay, she's still pretty intelligent.
Of course. All right, you boys have a lot of explaining to do. What happened down there? And why are you talking about Mr. Charger's bum? Oh, damn, you do the scrolling the wrong way.
No, I do it the right way. You do it the wrong way.
God. It's like my girlfriend, I was like, why wouldn't you move with Apple's changes?
But if I want to scroll down, I want to swipe down on a laptop.
Yeah, but I swipe in the same way that you'd be on an iPad.
iPad. Wow.
You don't use an iPad?
Nah, just a phone, man.
Wait, one day.
I'll get there.
You'll get there. Okay. Okay, let me just back up a bit.
Yeah.
Hermione led the boys to her office.
And she might have just farted, remember?
Oh, she might
did
have.
Say that in the...
Yeah, that's true. Someone farted, that's true.
We don't know for sure.
Hermione led the boys to her office. All right, you boys have a lot of explaining to do. What happened down there? And why are you talking about Mr. Charger's bum? To be honest, I've seen it. It's nothing special, in my opinion. IMO. Doesn't say IMO. Riffing.
You should do actual audiobook reading.
I'd
this
love
is great.
That. Okay. In my opinion, asked Hermione. And she clicked her fingers twice like she was going, oh, snap, she went there.
So Hermione, for some reason, has seen
the evil teacher's bum at some point. So we assume maybe in a sexual way.
So we need to know that for later, I'm assuming.
Possibly. It might be a little, you know, just the author planting a seed. Okay. But also then she goes, which is funny.
Oh, snap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I've seen it. It's nothing special.
Okay,
We've all been there.
The boys explained everything. The series of chambers, the stench of farts, and Voldemort's bum face. Oh my, said Hermione. Professor, what does legami potenti mean?
Great reading. So in the last chapter, two of the main boys, Michael and Rob, merged together.
Mob.
And the spell was called Legame Potente made that happen.
Legame Potente, okay.
Yeah.
Professor, what does Legame Potente mean? Asked Michael. I was doing Hermione's voice, sorry. Professor, what does Legame Potente mean? Asked Michael. And now who's this speaking?
This is Hermione now, I think.
Interesting. You see, when you told me about this Legame Rotto word you came across in your message, I thought it was complete crap. I was like, you stupid bloody idiot boys. But then I did some study.
Classic Hermione.
I found out exactly what legame rotto and legame potente means. You see, I looked at a book called Powerful Things That Are Said in Languages Other Than English. I came across a thing called Uniting Friendship Charm. What?
Sorry, I was just going to interrupt.
Yeah, because
are you confused?
I have no idea what's going on.
So,
but I'm terrible at comprehending things as I read them.
Often in Harry Potter, I think this might be a little nod to the fact, often in Harry Potter, things come down to the power of friendship and the power of love.
Gotcha.
So I think I've named this spell the Uniting Friendship Charm, which is pretty lame.
Love it.
It's pretty losery.
Yep. No. Nothing's losery here. When did you write this?
When I was in year 7.
Yeah, it's great. Okay.
Well, you're really making it come to life, man.
Oh, thank you. Okay. So is this still quoting? Am I still quoting?
Yeah, you're still Hermione.
Okay. What happens in this charm is that two wizards with such a powerful bond of friendship, not unlike yourselves, join together. Just like what happened to you, the Uniting Friendship Charm takes place in two and only two parts, the Legame Rotto and the Legame Potente. I believe that Legame Rotto means broken bond, and I think that when you two were fighting, your bond was broken. Now, when Rob apologized after he believed that his friend was dead, well, just like it said in the letter, legame patente, the bond is restored.
So Michael and Rob were fighting for the second half of the book.
A mob. Mob were fighting.
Mr. Charger, the evil teacher with Voldemort on his bum,
nearly
killed Michael, and Rob apologized to him for all the fighting, and that's what triggered the Uniting Friendship Charm.
Okay.
That's crazy shit, isn't it?
It's fucking crazy shit.
This is some Ready Player One shit.
Yeah, or two.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Ready Player Three, maybe.
Ready Player Three. Your bond was restored, and therefore the Uniting Friendship Charm took place. When Michael was attacked, his heart took refuge in yours. Wow. This is powerful magic. This is huge.
Yeah.
This is when you merged together and became a powerful super being of fire and ice.
So,
well, very pre Game of Thrones.
Someone else said that on when mob merged together.
Yeah.
One half was made of fire and one half was made of ice.
Shit.
So it was like this extreme magic. Like it was crazy. But it was pre Game of Thrones, so that's, you know,
very influential.
George R.R.R. Martin read this and was like, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I hope this isn't licensed to anyone.
This Harry Potter parody book.
Would you call it fan fiction or parody?
Bit of both.
Hmm.
Like I'm a fan and it's fiction, but it's also a parody.
Okay, so yeah, you're ticking all the boxes. Okay. But Hermione, what was the ice? What was with the ice and fire? Asked Rob. The ice and the fire are very, very powerful types of magic. Only those who are in a uniting friendship charm are able to use this, said Hermione. But the note said something else. It said... Rob showed her the note. The third, said Hermione. Let me remember. Oh, yes, I believe that the most powerful witches and wizards that pass through Gryffindor House are capable of using the uniting friendship charm. But I could be proven wrong. What do you mean? Asked Michael. Well, the second use of the charm actually happened with Harry and Ron a long time ago. But the first was different, said Hermione. Who is it? Who was it? Asked Michael. Godric Gryffindor, said Hermione. And his partner, Salazar Slytherin.
So that you read that really well, because that's a huge moment. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Should just, I explain just for the listeners?
Let's say it at the same time and see if we're thinking the same thing. Yeah.
Godric Gryffindor is obviously the guy who founded Gryffindor House.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
And Salazar Slytherin, he was the guy who founded Slytherin House, which is pretty obvious. Now, do you remember from the movie you saw, like, that Gryffindor is kind of like the good house and Slytherin's sort of like the evil house? So I guess what is interesting about this is that we would have thought maybe that Godric Gryffindor and Salazar Slytherin were enemies, but it turns out at some point they used the uniting friendship charm in the past, like hundreds of years ago.
Shit.
What do you reckon of that?
I'm fucking shocked. I thought they were sworn enemies.
Exactly. And it also says that it was his partner, which a lot of Harry Potter fan fiction does go in the direction of, like, pairing together characters in same-sex relationships that J.K. Rowling never did. So I'm wondering if I was sort of pairing up Godric Gryffindor and Salazar Slytherin as a couple.
It's a grey area, though. You've intentionally kept it grey.
Yeah.
You've just said his partner as opposed to...
Could mean his magic partner. Could mean his romantic partner.
Business partner.
Business partner. Maybe school partner.
They could have a side hustle. Maybe they're doing a Kickstarter.
What would two ancient wizards kickstart, just from your understanding of Harry Potter?
Mechanical keyboard.
What, like a QWERTY keyboard?
Yeah, QWERTY keyboard, Bluetooth.
Get rid of all the quills in your house.
Yeah.
Get a
But you know what? That would be great. A really good mechanical QWERTY keyboard, but because they're wizards, they can make it fold up to the size of a matchbox.
But why would they want to do that? Just for portability?
Yeah, portability.
Right, so you can unfold it.
Yeah, it's a normal full size.
Got to bring my keyboard to Damo's house. I'll just fold it up, put it in my pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And imagine, like, and also what you see a lot on Kickstarter are, like, really, single bag travel bags.
Yeah, right.
Imagine a wizard's bag. Yeah. Imagine what you could pack in there.
Yeah, they do have in the Harry Potter books, I think, they have like a magic bag where Hermione has a magic bag she can put lots of stuff in the seventh book.
That'd be a great video to make, is like Hermione's Kickstarter for her, like, everyday, like her EDC bag.
That should be your next Ryan project.
Shit. Okay.
Magic Wizards.
I've only got one more.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Could be.
I gotta go.
Gotta start writing. Need a mechanical keyboard.
Okay, we should continue.
Right. Continue, yeah.
No, said Michael. Sorry, said Hermione. But it is true. She shrugged her shoulders and made a face, then put her rude finger up at Rob. Now, what does Mike, at the age of 12, think is the rude finger?
This.
Mate, put that away.
Wow. So, but what's funny is Hermione's, like, supposed to be their teacher. They've just nearly been murdered by another teacher. And she's like, sorry, but it's true.
She's like,
what would you do if your teacher said that to you and put her rude finger up?
I'd call your mum. I'd call my mum, or just take a shit.
Just go.
Just take a shit on the spot.
Out of fear or out of power?
Out of power.
Yeah. Just be like, fuck you, Hermione.
It's the ultimate retort. If you ever don't know what to say back to someone, just take a shit.
Yeah. And do you tell them, or do you make it loud enough?
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah. Hopefully they don't notice.
No, but I feel like if you know, not to get a not to get technical, but if you did, if you had a good diet and like a solid poo,
high fiber,
it might just go, just sit in your undies. You might have to be like, sorry, I've done a poo.
Oh, no, no, no. The whole purpose of it is to pull the pants down and do it like a dog. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
All right. So Hermione doesn't give a shit at all.
No. They spent the next 5 minutes in silence. Wow. After the middle finger went up.
So imagine just like, you know, you're having a meeting with a teacher, which ends with them putting your rude finger up, and then you literally spend 5 minutes in silence.
I mean, how long do you reckon the start of this episode was when I was getting ready
yeah.
in silence? That was probably like 30 seconds.
And it was awkward.
And that felt too long.
Yeah, so before we started, Ryan was like, I'll let you know when I'm ready. And then we sat in silence for 30 seconds.
Because I wasn't ready.
Yeah, and he was like, all right, I'm ready now.
Yeah, it's power move.
They did that for what? 10 times that amount.
Shit. 10 times? Is it six times.
Six times. Wait, yeah, yeah. No, wait, what?
I'm not a good math 30, person.
1 minute, 1.5, 2, 2.5, 3, 3.5.
You're right. Five. You're yeah, right.
10 times.
You're right.
Anyway, it's not a math podcast, so it's all good.
I used to
good
cry
math.
When I got home, when I couldn't do maths homework.
Really?
Yeah, when I was in grade
What was your
nine.
Best subject at school?
Probably like media or drama.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah, nice. Definitely not maths. Someone reminded me of the term, it's probably not very politically correct these days, but reminded me of the term veggie maths. Was that a term when you were at school?
Oh, as in like further maths.
Yeah, further maths. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cut that out.
Do you actually want me to cut it?
Just so I can uncancel myself.
Like I said it, but then I asked him to cut it out, so you can't cancel
yeah,
me.
Can't get me on that. I regret it. If you show regret, you're fine.
If you, yeah, you have, but it has to be immediate regret.
Immediate regret, and I acknowledged it, but weirdly still wanted to say it.
Yeah. No, I don't think, like, yeah, people used to call it veggie maths. Yeah, I've said it now, so okay. We're both cancelled.
We're going down together.
But last chapter, so it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
We said what we wanted to say.
As if you were going to do anything else after this. Okay, here we go.
All right.
They spent the next 5 minutes in silence. The shock was just too much. Not about the rude finger, but about Salazar Slytherin and Godric Gryffindor. Gryffindor with Slytherin? No. Impossible. Or was it? Yes. But no. Oh, but not at the same time. Hermione left the room.
Hey, I forgot to ask you, what house do you think you'd be in? Do you know
what are the other two?
Ravenclaw and Hufflepuff.
Hufflepuff.
You'd be in Hufflepuff.
Well, I don't
that's
even know
the
they
loser
are.
House.
Yeah, that feels right for me.
No, you'd be probably a Ravenclaw.
What's Ravenclaw like?
They're the intelligent house.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think you'd be
what
in that.
What would you be?
I reckon I'd be a Ravenclaw. I do. I've said it before on the pod. But
it's probably Ravenclaw is the intelligent, brilliant, smart,
awesome
fun,
house.
Good looking, sexy house. So I think I'd be probably Ravenclaw. You actually put me in Ravenclaw.
You know, Slytherin's the evil house. Yeah. Wouldn't be that.
What's Gryffindor?
Brave. I wouldn't be that. I'm man enough to admit it.
I'm not brave. So Ravenclaw's more like the kind of like book nerds and...
It's kind of funny because it actually is like Gryffindor is like courageous and like, you know, willing to be there for their friends. That's like the trait of Gryffindor.
So who's Harry in?
Harry's in Gryffindor. Okay. That's like the main house. And then Slytherin is, it's not the evil house. It's more like, I'd say it's more like a conservative house where like people believe in pure blood, like pure wizards, as opposed to like there's half blood wizards and mud blood wizards, which are, you know, if a wizard has a child with a muggle, which is a non-magic, they have a half-blood child. Slytherin is very much like, we want pure-blood wizards. We like, you know, kind of the racist house, I guess.
It seems a little bit 1930s Germany.
Yeah, but but the traits are more like cunning and wise and sly and that kind of thing. Ravenclaw is intelligence. And then actually in the book, they actually say, and all the rest go to Hufflepuff. So Hufflepuff actually is the house for losers who don't have any discernible traits. I was once dating this girl.
I want to be in Hufflepuff.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do.
Because I was going to say, I was once dating this girl and she told me she was a Hufflepuff. And I was like,
see ya.
No. It's like, I'm so sorry.
Hey, I'm Audi.
I'm a Ravenclaw. Enough time for you, Hufflepuff.
Well, what would be worse, Hufflepuff or Slytherin, if a girl said that?
I'd rather a Slytherin.
Wow.
Yeah. No offense, girls.
You prefer a Nazi.
No.
You're already cancelled.
No. Sorry, I didn't mean that.
Okay, so you'd prefer Hufflepuff or Ravenclaw?
I'd prefer Ravenclaw. Slytherin. I would like to date internally in the Ravenclaw house.
Jeez.
It's getting
not good.
No, sorry, man.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so you're Ravenclaw, Thorin. Okay, here, let's get going.
Yeah, all right.
Hermione left the room. "Wait, where are you going?" said Michael. "Yeah," said Lockie. "We literally were nearly murdered by one of the teachers who had the darkest wizard of all time attached to his own asshole in a series of deathly chambers underneath the school. And Michael and Rob literally combined together in some kind of ancient wizarding magic spell that has only ever happened twice in the history of the world, according to you, and you're just walking away? Aren't you concerned about our safety or whereabouts of Mr. Charger and Voldemort or anything?"
Which is a perfectly reasonable question for a young boy to ask his teacher. Shit.
I just pressed.
Oh, you've gone. You've scrolled down.
I've scrolled down.
Where are we?
Oh shit!
No, now you've gone to the last chapter.
We go.
Okay,
this is it, isn't it?
Yeah, this is it. We're right there. Yeah.
Shit.
So you know your teacher. You've just nearly been murdered. One of your teachers has the darkest wizard of all time, Wizard Hitler, on his asshole.
Yeah.
And then the teacher who's supposed to be in your care is like, "All right, I'm heading to bed." Walks out of the room. It's like, "We literally just nearly got killed and you're like walking out of the room. What the hell?"
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's dangerous.
This is high stakes.
It's good writing, isn't it?
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's very good. I mean, if I had have written this when I was in year 7, I'd be wrapped. I can see why you're digging it back up now.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, here we go. You know what I'd love to find out?
What?
That you've just written this now.
I just wrote it today. Yeah. Oh shit, Ryan's got
it. But I think it's great. I love it. Well, what does my opinion matter? But I think it's great. I'm enjoying reading it.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
I mean you're a Ravenclaw. You're into reading and shit. You're a smarty pants.
That's true. Hang on, what
you've scrolled way too far up. I think we're
We're here. It's literally 2 AM. I'm tired? That's a question mark.
Yeah, I think it's like it's literally 2 AM.
I'm tired.
Like
Hermione.
It's almost like Hermione's being like, "How dare you question me and what I'm doing? I'm bloody tired."
Okay.
You know.
It's literally 2 AM. I'm tired, said Hermione, who left and went to bed. They began to hear footsteps. These footsteps grew louder and louder. Michael and Rob, /Mob, were scared. They turned around and hid. "I'm sorry," said a voice. "Please." Michael and Rob looked up. "Harold?" asked Michael.
So Harold is one of the other boys and he's a werebasilisk. So he turns into a basilisk, which is a giant snake when it's a full moon, kind of like a werewolf. No, but it's bad for him. No one wants to be a giant snake.
No arms,
yeah. And he was manipulated by Mr. Charger, the villain, towards the end of the book. So that's why he's saying sorry.
Okay. And where am I at? Harold? Asked Michael. "Yes, it's me," said Harold. It definitely was Harold, but it didn't look anything like him. "I'm sorry, Mr. Charger promised that no one would get hurt," said Harold. Harold's eyes were red. His nose was bleeding. His arm was broken, his face was deformed, and his left ear had been cut off.
Pretty brutal.
Fuck. "What happened?" asked Rob. "Mr. Charger promised he wouldn't hurt anyone. Then, when I didn't kill you, he did this to me," said Harold. "And seriously, there's something weird going on with me. I think you guys should think about it more, mate." Excuse me. "I think you guys should think about it more, maybe in one of the upcoming books, because I'm just a weird character and I don't know if the writer of the story actually knows what's going on with me. Anyway, let's get off to bed."
Oh,
love it.
Like, it's not often that you read a book where a character in the book goes, "Hey guys, just saying, there's some weird stuff happening with me.
Yeah.
Maybe in one of the next couple books you might find out more about
it. It's so good because I'm not a big reader. I don't know if that's a normal device.
I don't think it's a
It's normal. A great device.
Just have the characters...
be aware that they're in the book. Yeah, and they're like not in control. Like, it's kind of like Stranger Than Fiction, the Will Ferrell movie, a little bit. It's not really, but a little bit. But in this, yeah, the characters are completely aware that they're in a book. You should write a book like that. That would be good.
I already did.
I know, but like a new one. Now.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I actually really like it. Like, it's happened a lot throughout the book where a character just goes, like there's been points where the characters have actually interacted with the narrator. The narrator starts talking back to the characters in the book.
It would be great if they could also interact with the author.
Oh, as in like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So the characters could be like, can we not go
to the
beach house this weekend? And you're like, I'm really sorry, but something happens later, which means you have to see something.
It's like a Chekhov's gun kind of thing.
Yeah, just don't look in the cupboard and you'll be fine. But don't tell Jane. She has to look in the cupboard.
Might just be the last thing she does, but it's important.
It's kind of like choose your own adventure, but you can't.
Yeah, it's choose your own adventure, but no matter what you say, someone else decides which adventure you take anyway.
Yeah, you're just having to go along on this thing because you only exist because of this book.
Yeah.
So you're great. The character is grateful on one hand because it's like, thank you for creating me in this world.
Yeah, I'm like God to them.
You're God.
Yeah.
But they can talk directly to God and God talks back.
Yeah. Which is something we all want in this world, right?
Yeah, I guess.
But we just don't have that. I think they live in a better life than us.
What would you say, whoever is, if there was such thing as like, let's say, let's just agree that for this conversation that there is a creator who created everyone.
Yeah.
If you could talk to the creator.
Yeah.
What would you say to them right now?
How are ya?
Okay, so then they say, not bad. What's up?
Just living. What's up? What's your deal? Tell us about what you do.
Okay, so you have time with your creator. Is there nothing you want to ask me right now?
Oh, like, so what's the purpose of all this?
That's for you to find out. It's different for everybody.
Oh, okay. What are you doing tonight?
Watching Squid Game.
Okay. Thinking of doing my own.
Yeah. Might actually make a film. I'm writing a screenplay. God, God's screenplay would be good.
Yeah. Can God write a screenplay that's so good even he can't read it?
You know what would be great? is a screenplay written by God, but it's terrible, but it gets made because it's God.
It's like, well, we have to make it.
We have to make fucking God. We've got a pitch with God, and I know it's not going to be good, but let's just...
Like, how can you say no to him?
Yeah, let's just do it. It's going to cost a bit of money, but just to get him off our backs and keep him in our good books.
Publicity's good, I guess, even if it's a bad show.
Yeah, we'd love to produce.
Gets the conversation happening.
Yeah, it's good. Like, God's written a film. Everyone's going to want to see God's film.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll get good first weekend results, and then it probably won't get word of mouth, but hey.
Hopefully the Rotten Tomatoes will be all right. Like, the audience score will probably be good because heaps of people like God.
But yeah, unless they bloody bomb it.
Yeah, they might review bomb it.
That happens, doesn't it? I know about that. That's why I said it.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway. Okay.
All right, so Harold's been deformed, apparently.
Yeah, he's gone off to bed.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think you should see Madame Pomfrey in the hospital wing? Said Michael. It's literally 2 a.m. I'm tired. Oh, with no question mark, said Harold.
So, I mean, and this is another common trope in the book where, again, even in the most dire of circumstances, for example, this kid, Harold, is, you know, has been deformed by a teacher. He's like, guys, I'm tired. I just want to go to bed. But the kids are like, don't you reckon you should go to the hospital?
Okay. The year was over. The boys were heading to the Hogwarts Express. Hogwarts Express, yeah. Which is on platform 7.5?
9.75. 9.75. I don't know what's on platform 9.5.
I was mixed up with being John Malkovich.
Oh, yeah?
I think the portal into John Malkovich's head is on like level 7.5 or something like that.
Okay, right.
Pretty something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we digress. I know. "Bye, Hagrid. Bye, bye, Hagrid. Bye, bye, Hagrid." They said to Hagrid, who was there.
That was such a good read.
"You better go home now," said Hagrid.
That was good.
That's so pretty good.
Throughout the book, Hagrid is now so old that
Of course.
He's super out of it. And most of the time, I think almost every interaction with the boys that Hagrid's had, like they'll go visit Hagrid in his hut on the school grounds and they'll be like, "Hi, Hagrid." And he'll just, every time he's just like, "You better go to potions now." Like potions is a class. Yeah. And like the boys like, "But we don't have potions." And Hagrid like just goes, "You better go to potions."
What year is it?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. So that's where Hagrid's at now, if you want to get inside the head of the character.
Okay.
And now he said, "You better go home now."
Okay.
It's almost like he just doesn't want to talk to the boys at all.
Okay, okay. "You better go home now," said Hagrid. "We are going home, Hagrid," said the boys. "You better go to potions now," said Hagrid. "Hagrid, do you have any idea what's going on at any point in your life?" said Sam. Aren't you happy, Sam?"
So it's this is another thing he said in another chapter, which is we just deduce that he's saying, "Aren't you happy, Sam?"
"Aren't you happy, Sam?" Instead of aunt.
Instead of aunt, he says, "Aren't you happy?"
"Aren't you happy, Sam?"
Which doesn't really make sense. Like, asking him? Like,
no, but it's like a, almost pirate English. "Aren't you happy, Sam?"
Yeah.
Okay. "By the way, I have a surprise for you next year." Oh no, Hagrid has a surprise. That can't be good," said Luke. Michael wasn't listening. He didn't laugh either. Instead, he looked down at his chest. It was covered in four big scars. Just looking at them made him remember the pain he felt when he was being cursed. The sharp pain in his heart. They boarded the train. "Well, I guess you could say we had a pretty magical time at school this year," said Rob, putting on his best idiot voice. That's great.
What's a good idiot voice? You should read it again in an idiot voice.
Okay.
You don't have to.
Have to. I never back down from an idiot voice.
I just love that as a descriptor. This is my best idiot voice, brilliant. Guys.
Okay, I love it. Okay. "Well, I guess you go. Well, I guess you could say we had a pretty magical time at school this year," said Rob, putting on his best idiot voice. All of the boys laughed. In fact, everyone on the train laughed except Sam, who was an idiot.
This is good. So he's taking offense to it, you know, of course. As you would.
If you're an idiot, yeah.
Hey, man, I don't think you should make fun of idiots, all right? I don't think that's you.
I ain't the author.
Yeah.
Okay. "One thing's for sure," said Michael. "I'll never trust anyone's bum again." "You said it," said Lockie, and everybody laughed again. One person farted again. It was possibly Hermione, but she was inside the castle, so no one could really know for sure. Actually, it probably wasn't her because she was in the castle. And just as school came to an end, so did this book. But is it really the end? No. There's another book. So it's not the end, but it's the end of this, of specifically this book. The end, for now, until the next book.
I think that's it.
Oh, and then there's an epilogue.
No, I think that we won't read the epilogue. Oh,
for a second, I thought I wasn't the last episode. I was like, this how is the last fucking episode. Dare you?
Whoa, I'll take the laptop off you. Thank you for reading
that.
That is, like, what did you think?
It heated up at the end. It was a nice sign-off for Hagrid. Or was it? And the idiot stuff. I love the idiot stuff. A good little nod to Hermione in the castle, probably doing some SBDs up there. Loved it.
Did you really?
Loved it.
What did you actually think?
I actually think it's funnier than I was expecting.
In what, like, what do you mean?
Well, I think, I mean, just like the best, I mean, do you want me to really critique it?
Yeah. Well, like it's, I did it in year seven, man.
I think for year seven, I feel like I always think about myself in English in high school.
Mm.
And I didn't know how to, like, write funny or something. Like, everything, it felt like like I was trying to copy or emulate someone else. But I feel like that is like really good.
Always like a really prolific writer at school. Like I just used to love writing stories.
Hence Ravenclaw.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
oh, so you wrote a lot.
I used to write stories all the time. There's like so many things. I wrote this and this might end up being a spin-off of this podcast. I found on my laptop from high school, I wrote a science fiction superhero book.
Oh my God, amazing.
Called Wave City. So I might start reading that out.
That's a great idea. Well, book me in for one of those. I want to hear about that.
Ryan, what do you have to plug? Do you have stuff to plug?
Well, when's this going to be released?
Tuesday.
Okay, well, look, my ryan.com. Ryan with 11 Ys.com. Mm. There's currently 21 different videos and things that I've made for the last like nearly 2 years.
Yeah.
And there'll be one more on December 11th. And The Imperfects is a podcast I do with Hugh and Josh Van Kylenberg.
Similar to this.
Same sort of thing. We read out our fan fiction from the Babysitter's Club from when we were young. So same sort of vibe, but yeah, slightly different. Vibe. Yeah. So I've got that, and Spreadsheet. I'm on a TV show called Spreadsheet.
That's right, yeah,
which is on Paramount Plus. Yeah, but you know, that's pretty much it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This has been huge. The first book is finally over, everyone. I can't believe it.
I can. We just did it.
One more thing, actually, just before we go.
Yeah.
So you know, you've only read the final chapter of this book. Would you go back and read from the start?
You know, you never know.
The end?
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Will I?
Thank you so much.
I will.
Thanks for joining me. We will be beginning book two in a couple of weeks' time. Thank you so much, Ryan Shelton. This is The End. Episode of Harry Potter and the Boys was brought to you by Manscaped. Head to manscaped.com and enter the code Harry Potter for 20% off your next purchase. This podcast was a Radio Mike original production. Head to radiomike.com.au to check out all our other content. Stay up to date at radio.mike on Instagram and get in touch radiomikepod@gmail.com.